God for the gift of life and for the opportunity to come before him to worship him. I want to welcome all our visitors, especially our first time visitors to the Insan Road Church of Christ. In Psalms 122 verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Why would the psalmist be happy, and why should we be happy to go into the house of the Lord? Because it is in the house of the Lord, only the house of the Lord, that we receive spiritual fortification to withstand the evil machinations of the prince of this world. It is only in the house of the Lord that we receive true fellowship of a spiritual body that has been formed by the one true God. It is only in the house of the Lord that we receive corrections in this uncertain world. And most importantly, it is only in the house of the Lord that we receive comfort and true hope in a world that has become so difficult and so tough. And I would use this to commend you for choosing to be in the house of the Lord today. Because you're not going to leave here the same. And God is going to bless you for coming. And no matter how hard life becomes, and no matter how high the transportation cost goes, I want to commend that you try and come to the house of the Lord every day that there is opportunity to come. This morning, we continue with our series of sermons on the theme, One Another. This would be the eighth in a series of topics that we have learned. This morning, our topic is submit to one another, taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. And before we delve into this, brothers and sisters, I want to say that all the sermons we have listened to are very important, but the sermons on one another are at the very core of our Christian lives. You can be the most punctual member in the church who is always here on the first time in the church every day. It could be that you are the most hard-working committee member. You are in several committees, working across all committees and doing everything possible. It could be that you are the greatest songs leader who leads songs and for people to feel refreshed in the Lord. And you could be the greatest sermonist who preached for people to hail God and say, glory be to God. You could be a member of the one true church. All these are important. But if you do all these things and your relationship with your brother, how you see yourself in relation to others is not good, you're wasting your time. And that is why Jesus Christ said that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, all your soul, and love your brother as yourself. That is why he said that what you would like others to do unto you, do unto others. The core of our Christian lives is on relationships. And it's important that we work very hard, but we also take good care of how we relate to one another. So because the topic is on submit to one another, I would like us to look at some dictionary definitions of submit. One definition says to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another. The second is similar.
says to yield oneself to the authority or will of another. The third is also similar. It says to yield to the action, control, power, etc. of another or others. As to whether this applies to us or not, there are two things that this definition tells us, and I want to point it out. First is that there is an authority holder. And second is one who has to submit to this authority. And throughout the Bible, you see that God has ordained this authority submission in our relationships. At least we can identify five of these God-ordained authority submission relationships. The first one is in James chapter 4, verse 7. It is between God and man. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So God is the authority holder and we are the ones submitting to his authority. The second one is within the family. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22, right down to chapter 6 verse 9, we see God ordaining authority and submission in the family. He says wives should submit to their husbands. Children should submit to their parents. And slaves should submit to their masters. These days we don't have slaves, but you can take it as employer-employee relationship. The third area we see is the church. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, the Bible clearly states that obey your leaders and submit to them.
So our
leaders hold the authority, we are to submit to them. The fourth one is in the workplace, and I've already mentioned it, that when the Bible says slaves should submit to their masters, they were working for their masters. And so in our workplace, the Bible expects us that we will submit to our employers or our superiors in the workplace. And what is interesting is that in 1 Peter 2 verse 18, it says that you don't submit only to the good masters, but also to the unjust ones. That is the standard to which Christians have been called to. And the last relationship is the government or the country. We see in Romans chapter 13 verses 1 to 7, the Bible says that you're supposed to submit to the governing authority. We submit to the governing authority because God instituted every authority in this world. So in all these, again, you see the authority holder and the one to submit. But our sermon text this morning is strange. It seemed to defy all these that we've mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21, it says that submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So does that mean that husbands should submit to their wives? Does that mean that the governing authority should submit to their
citizens?
Does that mean that your boss should submit to you? There are people who say that is a recipe for chaos. And Bible commentators have even disagreed on the meaning of this text. Because the God who says that wives should submit cannot say that submit to one another. And our job today will be to try and ask God to give us understanding in this text. But before we go there, there's a problem with submission. Every time we hear submit, there's a problem that we have. Because human nature is not aligned or inclined to submitting.
If you say and
that is why when God created Adam and Eve and he asked them not to do this, the human nature in them allowed them to do it.
And in this
world that we live, it has even worsened because we live in a world that everybody is telling everybody that you have to stand for your rights. You need to be assertive. And that is why we have the proliferation of rights groups. Even practices that people would hide and do in the past, now they are out boldly, say that this is my right. All these have led to serious misconceptions about the concept of submission. Let us see about four misconceptions that unfortunately has even crept into the church about submission. The first thing is that whenever we hear submission, it seems to signify weakness. Well, if the definition says that you are to submit to a superior being, then it means you are weak. If I'm a wife and I have an opinion and my husband has an opinion, why should I allow my husband's opinion to override mine? It means I'm weak.
And so
one misconception is that we equate submission to weakness. You are not tough. The second one is similar. It signifies inferiority. It means that person I am submitted to is superior and I am inferior. I am unworthy. If I have a first degree and you have a first degree, why should I submit to you? If I do that, then it means I am inferior. Perhaps you got your degree from the United States and I got mine from Choco. So, why? Are you superior? The third misconception is that submission signifies oppression. I am being oppressed. If I'm a wife and I submit to my husband, I'm being oppressed. And so your friends will say that, why are you living in this bondage? That is a serious misconception.
We are some
and the last one that is even more serious.
You chat
is that submission is for the poor, less privileged, the powerless, and the less famous.
If I
drive my Range Rover to that corner and that man who is walking on barefoot, he has to submit to me because I am worthier. If I drive my Range Rover to a place and that young man who is on barefoot should submit to me because I'm wealthier. If I am highly educated and you've never been to school, you should submit to me because I am superior. And these are the misconceptions that Christians have to lead the way to correct in a world that is decaying. So this morning we're going to look at the text and we're going to try to ask ourselves, what are the characteristics of a church? What are the characteristics of a family in which members submit to one another? Is it even true that we can really submit to one another? In Ephesians chapter 5, when you take it from verse 1 to verse 17, all that the apostle was talking about was to eschew immorality, move away from immorality and walk in love. But in verse 18 to verse 21, that is our text, he switches to something else.
And I'll
read. And do not get drunk with wine. For that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always for everything to the God, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he completes by saying, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The apostle draws a distinction between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit. If somebody is drunk, he is full of wine. If somebody is spirit filled, he is filled with the Spirit of God. And he goes on to say that do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And what constitutes a spirit-filled person? A spirit-filled person is one who is always leading in joyful worship and singing. One who is always giving thanks to God in all things. And one who is submitting to one another. So this passage is communicating some very important messages to us. There are four key messages it communicates to us. The first one is that the primary motivation for submitting to one another is out of reverence for Christ. Take all the God ordained submission authority that I mentioned. What the passage is saying is that Christ is the ultimate. You submit to your husband because you are submitted to Christ. You submit to your wife because you are submitted to Christ. Whatever submissive relationship you have with your brother or sister, the ultimate is Christ. The reverence is to Christ. And that is one key message that this passage communicates to us. The second one is that submission in Christ is first mutual before hierarchical. It's important to note that the Apostle Paul mentioned submitting to one another in verse 21. And then verse 22, he talks about wives submitting to their husbands. In chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, he talks about children submitting to their parents. Before he even goes on to talk about slaves submitting to their masters. So even before those hierarchical relationships were come, he had already said that submit to one another. We need to submit one another mutually before even the hierarchical submission will work. The third key message is communicating to us is that your ability to submit is a measure of the level of your spirituality. Remember, he said that a spirit-filled person is one who submits to one another. So if you are able to submit, it means that you are filled with the Spirit. And that is a demonstration of your spirituality. And the last one, which is very simple, is that the passage is just telling us that what the apostle said in verse 21 is not contradicting any of the God ordained relationship that he has mentioned. The only thing is that it gets to a point that a husband would have to submit to his wife. It gets to a point that a church leader would have to submit a yield to members or listen to members. It gets to a point that we need a government who is a listening government who will yield to what the members are saying. God ordained relationship is not unidirectional, that by all means it's only this person who submits. If my wife has an idea and I have an idea, and the Bible says I should love my wife as Christ loved the church, and I know within myself that my wife's idea is what is good for the family, and I really desire to put the interest of my family first to demonstrate the love that Christ has asked me to demonstrate. This text is saying that look at Christ, be reverent to Christ, and yield to the decision of other members of your family. That is the standard to which we have been called to. Now let us look at three characteristics. Because we are a church, I would like us to focus on the church. And of course, the family, because the family is the basic unit of the church. What are the characteristics of families or church whose members submit to one another? In the few minutes I have, I would like us to go through three of these characteristics. A church whose members submit to one another is one whose members humbly and graciously admit their faults and confess their sins to one another. A church whose members submit to one another is one whose members are ready and willing to serve in any capacity. And the third is, the church whose members submit to one another is one whose members willingly let go their rights to defense for the greater good of the church. So let us delve into it. The first is members who graciously and humbly admit their faults and submit or confess their sins. So far as we are human beings, we're going to step on each other's toes. And the problem is that sometimes we do it even unknowingly. As we learned last week, we can sometimes slander, sit down and deliberately plan how we will assassinate somebody's character. But there are sometimes you might say something that you did not mean to hurt somebody. And the Bible has taught us that when your brother offends you, go to the brother and try to make peace with your brother. When you offend a brother and the brother comes to you, how do you receive that brother? How do you react when people come to you and respectfully tell you that you've done this or that, and I am offended? Do you look at them and ask them, or ask in your head, who is he to come and ask me this question? Do you consider your status in the church or even in society and look down on that brother just because he doesn't measure up? Do you look at any of the God ordained relationship and put yourself in the place of authority and smite that brother and say, shut up, you don't have any right to talk to me about anything? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read of an encounter between David and Nathan.
David and Nathan.
Well, David had not sinned against Nathan.
David
had sinned against God.
And
God asked Nathan that, go and talk to David. He has sinned. And time will not permit me to tell you the whole story, but Nathan went. And he created a story around it. Eventually, David realized that he was at fault. David had every right as the king of Israel to order executioners to kill Nathan. How dare you come to my palace and use this story to entrap me? Now you sought to trick me. And even though I am at fault, I will have problem with that. And I will use my authority as a king to kill you. But David, a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart, immediately admits his fault.
David,
and he will write at least two psalms where he says, God, I'm so sorry. A church, the characteristic of a church that submits to one another is one who graciously admits our faults. We also confess our sins. The last time we spoke about praying for one another. But sometimes it's so difficult for us to confess our sins. It may suggest that we are not ready to submit to the will of God and to submit to our other brothers. I studied outside the country and I was worshiping with one of the local churches where I was studying. And there was a brother who was not an elder, he was not a deacon, but he was obviously a leader in the church. And he was very knowledgeable, both in the Bible and in the secular world. And he preached, and he led songs, and he would lead the Lord's Supper. And one day, when we closed, it was raining, and we were still in there talking and chatting. And he came to sit by me and said, Brother Gerard, I want you to pray with me. I am addicted to pornography. Even as I sit here, I'm waiting to get home, and immediately I get home, I'll put on my computer and I'll start watching pornography. That thing really changed my perception of how we relate to one another in terms of confessing our sins. Because when you look at that brother in the church, you would never assume that he had that problem. But perhaps he prayed and prayed and prayed and was not working. And he had to yield and ask other brothers, confess to other brothers and ask them to pray for them. If you are in a secret sin, it doesn't matter where you stand, how many years you have been in the church, you would have to confess to other brothers to pray for you. That would be the characteristic of a church that submits to one another. The second characteristic is a church whose members are ready and willing to serve in any capacity. There is an assumption that there are some jobs or some work in this church that are for some category of people. Before COVID-19, we would take the Lord's Supper round. So we needed Lord's Supper assistance. And at a point, I formed a group with some brothers to serve at the
mezzanine.
Brothers and sisters, the sad reality is that there are many people, even young people, who felt that they were too big for that job. A job of extreme spiritual significance had been consigned to people who would even come and not prepared, and we would call them, Brother, please, can you help us? Brother, please, can you help us? Because all of us felt that we were too big for that job. If there is a biggest example of submission in the Bible of people who were in authority but submitted, is what happened in John chapter 13. Jesus Christ washed the feet of his apostles.
Yes, Christ and Ankasa. Oh, bro, yeah, as my
and in those days, washing the feet was the work for slaves in the households.
Samreno, sir, oh, bro, obinasa, and yes, oh, yeah, aqua, oh,
because the custom was that when visitors come to your house, somebody will have to wash their feet because their feet will be dusted. And to demonstrate to them that they need to submit to one another and demonstrate humility, Christ showed them the way.
Yes, he
was a teacher. And he said to them, yes, I am your teacher. I could have demanded my right for you to wash my feet. But for you to learn and for the common good of the body of Christ, I would do that to show you the way. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, verse 44, he said that if you want to become great, you need to serve first. That means that as a husband, that sometimes you need to submit and yield and do some work that is not yours in the home. That means leaders in the church would have to do some work that is not their
own.
That means in your workplace you may be the boss, but you can choose to do the work that is not your own for the greater good of the
work.
Characteristics of a church whose members submit to one another is one whose members are ready and willing to serve in any capacity. The third and last one, and I bring my sermon to a close, is one in which members are ready to let go their right to defense for the common good of the church. And this might sound contentious. In Acts chapter 21, verses 17 to 26, we read of an account over there. Apostle Paul had written several times that we were in a period of grace and not rituals.
Paul, the
Jewish Christians were so stuck to the rituals. And Paul had written to the Gentiles and said that you're not supposed to submit to these rituals.
Now Paul, and
word had gone to Jerusalem that this is what this Paul is teaching others.
Paul, you.
And so Paul went to Jerusalem and people had listened to this false story, and then they were ready to incite violence against Paul.
And
James, who was an apostle and an elder, and other leaders in the church called Paul and said, look, there are some brothers who are to go through some rituals, some Jewish rituals.
And
for you to demonstrate to these people that what they are hearing is not true, just take these brothers and go through purification yourself and also pay for their purification.
Now,
it is important to know that the rituals themselves were not sinful, but they were not necessary. Christ had died for us, so those rituals were not necessary for salvation. But the Jewish Christians were so stuck to it. And when Paul was confronted with the situation, he could have defended it. If anybody had argumentative skills, Paul had it. He could have said that, no, James, you are wrong. We need to tell them to the face that these are not necessary. But Paul let go that defense. The Bible doesn't tell us why. But I believe Paul looked at how chaotic it was going to be. How dragging that could lead to the church disintegrating. And he conceded. He took the brothers and they did the purification. There are people who say Paul compromised. I wouldn't say he compromised. In fact, he was arrested subsequently. And who knows that even if he had not done that, something worse was going to happen. There are sometimes we are offended. And we have every right to defend ourselves. And yes, I agree, we need to defend ourselves. But we need to be careful the extent to which we take the defense. Because by the time you are eventually declared as the winner, that you were right, you would have dragged the name of the Lord through so much mud.
Now the asafuna afa enyema enye
bebreye. You might have caused some members to leave the church.
No ama ebinimo afri asafuna mu.
You might have weakened the faith of some members.
Ama ebinimo asabi omo
afa no. All because you put your interest first.
If it's already the edikan.
And they wanted to demonstrate superiority.
Obesa oche se una wash.
It is my right.
Eye
me kwanya. I will fight for it.
Se me kuma the efata me.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the same Paul says something. When he was complaining about members taking one another to court, he said that, why don't you allow yourself to be cheated rather? That is strange. But these are deep truths of God that are unfathomable to the carnal human mind. But to the spiritually minded person, you look at the common good of the church. And they submit out of reverence for Christ and his body. Not to the person doing the accusation. We submit to man because we put the church's interest first. And we submit to Christ because we know that he is the superior judge. And one day, whether we were falsely accused or not, God is going to vindicate us. Yes, let us defend ourselves.
But
let us be careful the extent to which we take it. In all this, there's a caution. We have learned that we need to submit to one another, irrespective of who we are and where we are. But we don't have to submit when it is not in the line of God's word. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when the Sanhedrin wanted the apostles to stop preaching, the apostle said that it is better for us to listen to God than to listen to man. And if the country brings laws, or if your husband brings laws that are against God's word, you are not supposed to submit. This is not for me. This is from the Bible. And the second one is that it is so easy for us to think that fornication, adultery, gossip are the ones that will take us to hell. But not submitting to one another could also take us to destruction. What have we learned? In summary, there are three things I would like us to. The first is that biblical submission, whether you are the authority holder or the one submitting, is an act of love. You put others first, or you consider others as more important. And that is what Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 11
says.
The second one is that biblical submission is willfully giving in, cooperating, and doing the best for the common good of your family, the church, or the nation. As the authority holder, you would look at the common good of your family, you look at the common good of the church, and you yield. And the third one is that biblical submission is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength, spirituality. The world will say you are foolish. But in the Lord, you are strong. May God give us understanding. In concluding, we have done 8 of these topics. Love one another. Encourage one another. bear one another's burden, accept one another, pray for one another, judge not one another, speak no evil about one another, and next week will be forgive one another. All this is hinged on submitting. Brothers, let us change the thinking of the world and let us lead the way. If you are visiting us for the first time, this is the faith to which we have been called. And this is the faith to which we invite you. God is standing at the heart, at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. Today is the day of salvation. If you only stand up and declare your faith in the Lord, we pray with you and you'll be baptized in water. And you'll walk in newness of life. And you will embark on a journey to heaven. And the good and gracious Lord bless us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We thank our brother for the message. The word has come to us, and I believe and I trust that we will respond